encouragement. It's just the real deal. And I just love it. I don't know about you, but I just love it. And I love him, and I love Mom. And so, again, I appreciate them for what they do and the deposit they've made in my life, my family's life. It's just greatly appreciated. Amen? Amen. And then also I want to recognize the darling of my life. Amen. She's been married to me for 38 years this month. Praise the Lord. I've been married to her for about 5 of those 38 years. Because when she act up, she ain't my wife. But anyway, praise the Lord. So you mean, doggone, that means she's been acting up for 33 years. Anyway. No, I have a wonderful wife, and she stuck with me. She's been with me through thick and thin. And that's when you know you got somebody. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of people think they love somebody, but you don't know if you love them to love is put to the test. Because anybody can say, I love you, but when things get rolling, when you find out they got some little quirks you don't like, amen, praise God. Then I also want to recognize my children. I don't know if they made it in or not. They were on the road. Where? Stand up, my children. Where are my children? All right, stand up. All right. Where's Teresa? That's my daughter, Patrina. Raise your hand, Trina. That's my daughter, Teresa. Raise your hand, Teresa. And now you see those three that stood over there? That's my family, too. They're my grandchildren. But I think they're at my house more than my children are, but more than they're at their own house. Anyway, praise the Lord. But anyway, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Amen. Let's get into this word right quick this morning. And again, Kathleen's theme this week is what happens when the Holy Ghost is controlled. And I think I can speak on that with authority. And I've experienced what the Holy Ghost does when he's in control. But before I even get far into that, I want to share something else with you. I want to show you something because it's important, first of all, that we recognize that the Holy Spirit will do nothing in your life without you allowing him to. Can I try that one more time? I said the Holy Spirit will do nothing in your life except you allow him to. If you don't allow him in, he's not going to come in. If you don't allow him to do the things that he wants to do, and, you know, a lot of times we say, well, allow. What you mean by allow? You know, in your own mind, the way you see things, you can block him from doing things. It ain't just saying, no, Holy Ghost, I don't want you to move in my life. But it's simply a lot of times the habits we have, the thought processes we have, different things like that, and it'll block the Holy Spirit from actually coming in and doing what he wants to do. Now, so that means that if the Holy Spirit is going to work in your life, as you're going to see him in control in your life, that means you're going to have to give him that place. You know, Jesus said something very powerful. Jesus said this. Jesus said, give no place, watch this, to the devil. What did he say?
Give no place.
I know you don't want to hear about the devil, but what did he say?
Give no place.
You know why he said that? Because it's up to you who you give place to. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's up to you who you give place to. Now, you can choose to give the devil place, or you can choose to give God place. But neither one of them can force their way on you. It's, in other words, it's a hard matter. It's up to you what you decide to do. Now watch this. Let me say this to you. Jesus says something that is very powerful in the book of Revelation. He said, he stand at the door and he what? But now what did he say responding after that? He said, if any man open, he'll come in and sup with him. So again, the entrance or who comes into your life is up to you. So the Lord Jesus himself saying, I knock, but it's up to you to let me in. Look with me at the Psalms, the 24th Psalm. I want you to look with me at the 24th Psalm, and I want you to look with me at this because it's very important. You know, the awesome thing about it is that when we were in Gretna at Pastor Ron's, Dad mentioned this passage of Scripture. Matter of fact, he went through it a little bit. And it blessed me because I knew that was the word that the Lord had given me for camp meeting, this Scripture that we're going to look at this morning. And, you know, it's nothing like knowing you on the same path with somebody that you're supposed to be connected with. Praise the Lord. You know, I know a lot of times as pastors, we want to be the rat to smell and the cheese. But we all got to submit to somebody. And so you got to stay connected to somebody. And so when you're connected to somebody and then they're moving on the same vein that you're moving and you're not even in the same city with them, you don't know what they're doing at that time.
Right.
It's just a blessing to know you hooked up.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. But now watch this, because I said that you have to get the Holy Spirit entrance, right? Look at your name and say, you got to give the Holy Spirit entrance. Now, in this 24th Psalm, I want you to just look down with me at verse number 7. At verse 7. You have it? Now, it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, right?
Yeah.
And it says, be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And it says, and the King of glory shall come in. So now, watch this. That's a request. Let me try that again. That's a request. He says in that 7th verse, look at it again. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and then, and the King of glory shall come in. But if you don't lift up those heads, and you don't open those gates, then the King of glory can't come in. Come on, y'all. And then we talk about, when he says the King of glory, then the next thing, see, this is what I love about the Bible. You know, I like all these other translations because they clarify something, but some things they muddy up. You know, but the King James, to me, is the most awesome translation of the Bible. Because don't nobody say it like the King. Now, now watch this, because he says, now lift up your heads, right? Open up the gates, right? But then in that next verse, he says this, he says, who is this King of glory? he said, who is this King of glory? So you know what he's saying is, look, I don't want you to have any doubt about who I'm talking about. So he said, look, I want to take away from you all shadow of doubt. So he said, who is this King of glory? Look at the response to that. Now you know, it's awesome. Look at that, a verse. Who is this King of glory? Now watch, it said the Lord, and see how the King is?
Yeah.
King James, how he talk?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Lord, he didn't just say the Lord.
Yeah.
He didn't just say the Lord. He said, watch what he said. He said, the Lord strong and mighty. Come on now, watch what he says. The Lord mighty in battle. So he's trying to let you know something. We ain't talking about just anybody here. So now, watch this. The only way that this King can come in and you can really identify with him is you have to give him permission to do so. But when you let him in and you give him the control, he's the Lord God strong. He's the Lord mighty. Come on, y'all. Now watch this. Now this is the part I like. I like this more than even all. That he's the Lord of battle. He's the Lord. Look at, he know how to battle. Huh? You know, it's one thing to get in a fight. But it's another thing to get in it and know what you're doing. You know, when I was in high school, I went to high school with a guy and he took karate. Praise the Lord, saints. And so he went to classes and he did all the little routines they do and everything. Then he come out, he thought he was, you know, a karate expert. So somebody started something with him. Hello. So he went to. He got his honey whip. See, it's one thing to think you know what you're doing. There's another thing to know what you're doing. Now watch this. And not only know what you're doing, but be able to apply what you think you know. Huh? So now watch this. The Lord is mighty in battle. He's strong in battle. He's the God. He battles. Would you say God battles? Now watch this. This is the beautiful thing about when God battles. God battles and God doesn't lose. Now, you know, now I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to today, a part of what I'm going to minister to you is what I actually went through with the Lord. When I gave the Lord control by his spirit, what he did for me, even though I was ignorant of some of the things that he was doing. I said, oh, Pastor, you can't be ignorant. You better believe it. You can be ignorant of what the Lord is doing. Because what you do is you have your eyes set on something a certain way. Hello. And then you find out God wasn't in what you thought he was in. He wasn't doing what you thought he was doing. Okay, we're going to see this. So when you give the Lord entrance into your life, now let me tell you what happens when you give him entrance into your life. Several things begin to happen. First of all, your focus shifts. Would you say my focus shifts?
My focus shifts.
Now, what do you mean your focus shifts? Now you get to the point where you're no longer trusting in your efforts and trusting in your flesh, but now you're depending totally upon what the Lord can do. Because, see, now what happens is when you let him in control and you start realizing what he's doing and you recognize, watch this, your insufficiencies in what you're trying to do, then your focus shifts from your flesh to God. Well, let me show you what the psalm is. Let me show what the word says. Are y'all here? All right, watch this. Hallelujah. All right, Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God," watch this, "in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Well, how do I get to the place where I have no confidence in the flesh? That's a hard thing to do, whether you realize it or not. Because you've been trusting yourself for so long. And as you trust yourself, you have confidence in yourself. And you know, and then not only that, but everything in the world is designed to pump you up. You know, that you can have it all your way. That you can do it your thing, and your thing, no matter, it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing, just do your thing. And so in America, praise the Lord, America is the greatest country in the world, but America is a very selfish country because we teach each other, just get your own way. And so because of that, there's a division in this country that's like no other time in history. Because everybody's trying to, what, be successful on their own thing. Hallelujah. I don't care what my brother doing. I don't care how it affects anybody else, as long as I can get my way. And so that's the way of the flesh. So now watch this. When we get into dilemmas, we get into situations, we still, in a lot of times, whether you realize that, you can lie if you want to, but you know, I don't care how long you've been walking with Jesus, a lot of times when you get in situations, sometimes you still have had a tendency to flow to your flesh if you have not been yielded to the Spirit before. I was talking to a friend of mine. I'm not going to call his name because he's here. But I'm going to take his revelation and give it to you. And I'm going to give it to you like this, because I'm not going to give him credit for it, because I'm speaking. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what? The best way to be a Christian is to get saved. I said the best way to be a Christian is, first of all, you need to get saved. Because if you get saved, then you come to the place, watch this, when you truly saved, you get on a true path. And you get on that true path starts to lead you away from your flesh and starts to lead you into a direct connection with the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, I was reading a book, and in the book, I'm not even going to tell you the name of the book because this is my story, but... And in the book, the writer said this. He said, the hardest people in the world to govern is a free people. Because free folk do what they want to do. Huh? You trying to instruct free people, and free people, I ain't doing that. I ain't thinking about you. I ain't got to do that. And so that's why we have that even when it comes. Now watch what I'm saying to you. That's why we have that even when it comes to the Church of the Living God. And that's why apostolic authority, prophetic authority, pastoral authority, evangelistic authority, teaching authority, whatever. That's why you have kept so much with people. Okay? Because people are free. Huh? You know, because if I don't like what you're doing over here, and you tell me I can't do what I want to do here, then Reverend so-and-so down the street gonna let me do what I want to do. So now watch this. That's why even when it comes to the Holy Spirit being in control, when the Holy Spirit trying to lead you somewhere, you so stuck in your freedom that you can't even be restricted enough and contain yourself, constrain yourself enough to do what the Holy Ghost wants you to do. Because why? Because you've been free. But ain't no free without God. There is no such thing as free. Watch this. There's no such thing as free when you walk away from what God tells you to do. Hallelujah. So would you look at the name and say your focus of confidence shifts. All right. So again, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence where? Now, the second thing is that when the Holy Spirit is in control, now when I give these to you, I'm not talking about these are in any specific order. I'm just giving you some things and I just got to have them listed on my notes with an order. But this is just general stuff. All right? So what happens is, watch this, the expression of your faith becomes manifest. In other words, whatever you have been putting your faith in towards, hello, whatever you've been believing God for, when your confidence shifts to the Holy Ghost, those things that you had your faith out there for begins to show up. Why? Because now I'm not trying to bring this thing to pass with my flesh, but I'm bringing this thing to pass with the help of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Not only am I bringing it to pass with the help of the Holy Spirit, because he's in control, he the one showed me what to do. We talk about, what happens when the Holy Ghost is in control, right? And so a myriad of things can happen when he's in control. But now, Dad mentioned this. Basically, all of us talk about this, is that there's too many things, watch this, that are not happening for us in the body of Christ that we put out there on the table. And the reason that it's not happening is because we have lost our focus or we have never had focus in the right place. Now listen to this. If you got a sickness in your body, this is what I'm about to say. If you're having a financial difficulty or any other thing that's going on in your life that you don't desire to be there, guess what? You're not fighting sickness. You're not fighting disease. You're not fighting financial lack. No. I'm serious. It can be there. It can be all up in your face. And it can be real loud and shouting at you. But that's not your fight. Come on now. What we like to do, see, we think we bad. So what we like to do is, I rebuke you, sickness. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, financial lack. Get out of my life. I command you, in the name of Jesus, go from me. No. I ain't saying something wrong with that. But I'm saying that's what we focus on, is what we think we can do. Because I'm bad. I got Jesus. And I'm so bad I can speak to anything. And it's got to obey me. When the Holy Ghost is controlled, you get a different viewpoint. Because, watch this, sickness and disease is not your fight. So you ain't got to focus on the sickness nor the disease. Lack is not your fight. So you don't have to concentrate on the lack. Yeah. Ugly folk messing with you is not your fight. Man, I ain't talking about no in looks. I'm talking about people acting up. See, y'all talking about, I got some ugly people in my life. No, I wasn't talking about that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is this, is that when people act crazy with you, then, and you know it. You know, I don't care how much we tell you, I don't care how much the Lord tell you. The Lord said, don't act up, don't get back at it. No, they're talking to me. You know, so I got to deal with this. That's not your fight. Your fight is to remain faithful and steadfast to what God said. See, this is what it, the Apostle Paul said, I have fought the good fight, and he's fought the fight of what? Of faith. Huh? So my faith is not focused on defeating something that's already defeated. I'm not focusing on trying to defeat sickness. I'm not trying to focus on defeating disease. I'm not trying to focus on defeating poverty and lack. That's already defeated. So if I'm going to fight a defeated foe, I'm wasting my time. What I have to come to realize is that my fight is to stay in faith and trusting in what, believing what God said. So when a thing comes against me, my job is to say, Father, this is what you said. Your word says, by his stripes, I'm healed. That came out of your mouth. So as a result of that, I don't have to be sickness, disease, forget you. My focus, when the Holy Ghost is in control, is on what God said. And so what I become, now watch this, what I become is what I call a repeater. You know, I served in the military and I was a communications specialist. And we had radio stations that I used to control, be operating one of those stations. And so we had different stations, one in Korea, Hawaii, and all of the Pacific. Okay? And so I was at a station, what you would do is, it was a main tower. Okay, radio tower. And that radio tower would send a signal. But that signal could only go so far. So it had another tower set up. And when that tower would do, what that tower would do is receive from that tower, they would send it, and it received that, and then it would repeat it. And so what it does, as it repeats it, it'll finally get to its destination. And it'll get to its destination and accomplishes what it's intended to accomplish. So when God says something to you, when the Holy Spirit is leading you and he's talking to you, what you have to become is a repeater. Huh? So what you have to do is you have to begin to repeat what God said. And as you repeat what God said, God's word will not return unto him void. So that word has to get to where it was sent to go and accomplish that thing and bring it back to your life. See, now what we're trying to do is we're trying to say our own thing. Just repeat. Yeah. I don't. But see, what we got a lot of what time we have problems with is saying what somebody else said. Right. Now, just think. My station was AB4USA. Yeah, that was a long time ago. So the Lord is working on this thing. Amen. AB4USA. So what I would do if I got a message for AB6USA, then I would send that to AB6USA. That was in Korea. Okay. Now watch this. If I got on and had a message come to me and I was supposed to repeat it to AB6USA and I got on and said, AB8USA, come in, AB8, and I sent it to AB8USA, then guess what? I didn't repeat what I heard. So because I didn't repeat what I heard, somebody got something they wasn't supposed to get and somebody did not get what they were supposed to get. So when the Lord is speaking to you and the Spirit of God is in control and he says something to you, repeat what he said. Don't come back with something new or something different, but speak what he said so that what he said can reach his destination. That means, watch this, wherever it was supposed to go won't miss out on what it was supposed to get. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So when the Holy Ghost shows up and you allow him to be in control of your life, watch this, the expression of your faith, it becomes reality. Things begin to show up. All right, let me give you a third thing. The third thing, when the Holy Ghost is in control, watch this, what happens? You become recipients of God's goodness. Watch this. When he's in control, you become recipients of God's goodness. When you back out of your flesh in the way, and you let the Spirit of God be in control, that's when his goodness really begins to show up. You know, a lot of times people want to know, God has given man, the scripture says in Psalms 8, he said he crowned man with glory, and he crowned with honor. So there's a certain glory. Now, see, this is what you got to, don't touch God's glory. You ain't got to touch God's glory. He gave you your own. And he's not mad at you because you know that glory belongs to you. And he's not angry with you because you seek out the glory that he put on you. And then you got to recognize this, is that when you talk about glory, glory is goodness. Glory means to be loaded. Glory actually means heavy. Huh? So now watch this. Moses, even if you remember Moses in the book of, I know you don't know him, but if you remember him from the book of Exodus, now watch this. In the third chapter of the book of Exodus, he asked God to show him his glory. What did God do? God hit him in the rock, and God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you. Now watch this. So if God said, I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you, then that must be glory. Because you can't ask a good father for something, and he don't give you what you asked for. He give you some substitute. You remember Jesus said that, don't you? Huh? Jesus said, if you ask for a stone, for bread, he ain't going to give you a stone. So in other words, God is an authentic God. So when you allow the Holy Spirit to be in control, whatever you ask him, he's going to actually show you the real deal. He'll bring the real deal to pass. He's not going to bring in no fake thing to you. You know what? I hate to say it like this, but I have to say it like this. Too many of us have received, I don't want to say it. Too many of us have received the promise of the flesh and not the promise after the spirit. You know, promise of the flesh is not from God. That's man stuff. When God gives you a promise, hello, I said, when God gives you a promise, you guaranteed Isaac every time if you let the Holy Spirit be in control. I'm going to say it. Too many of us have accepted Ishmael in the place of Isaac. You looking for Isaac, and Ishmael show up. And Ishmael look like it's all right. But Ishmael can't touch Isaac. Can y'all understand that? So now watch this. You believe in God for a certain thing. You didn't put your faith on the line for it. And so, because you don't think the Holy Ghost moving fast enough, something else come along. And you say, well, that won't be bad. We can go ahead and take this. So what you've done is you've compromised, watch this, what the Holy Spirit is really trying to get to you by his control, not yours. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at the neighbor and say, you become a recipient, of all the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. All right. Now, watch this. When the Holy Spirit is in control, obstacles are removed from your life. Stuff that you ain't got to move.
All right.
You know, it's a funny thing. When you read the scriptures, you find God doing awesome things for people. And we read the scriptures. We most of us have read the stories from the Old Testament, right? And we see how God operated, right? And you know what? The people that God were using, if we look at it, they didn't have to move anything out of their way. All they had to do was be obedient. Now, they had to walk through some things. But the responsibility of removing the objects that were obstacles in their lives was not theirs. David said about the lion and he said about the bear. Now watch this. When he was actually testifying about what he had accomplished, the first thing he said was this. He said, I faced a lion I defeated the lion. I faced the bear. I defeated the bear. And he said, this Philistine shall be just like them. But then you read a little farther, and David clarifies some things. David gave credit to where it belonged. David said, the Lord helped me to do this. So all David had to do, watch this, was face the lion. All David had to do was face the bear. And the Lord God himself, watch this, strengthened David to do what David had to do. So who was the real one to take the obstacle out of the way? God was. So David said, this old circumcised, uncircumcised Philistine, he's going to be just like them. Now watch what he said. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? They got nerve enough to come against, watch what he said, against the host of the armies of the Lord. So David took that thing and he did not accept, watch this, he did not accept the responsibility to defeat Goliath. He accepted the responsibility to face Goliath. And then, as always, when you make a decision that you're going to do what God wants you to do, somebody try to give you something natural. Somebody always trying to hook you up with what they know. Here's Saul. He want to give David something that David wasn't familiar with. Give him his armor. David said, no, I can't use this stuff. If I use this stuff right here, and that's what we're going to have to come to place of, is when people try to give us worldly advice, crazy advice. You say, well, you know what? Most spiritual advice seems like it's crazy, but no, anything that's against what God said, that's what's crazy. So David was already trained, watch this, in using the equipment he had. So David had to go with what he knew and who he knew. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So when you're facing challenges, don't look at it. Look at it like this. See, because again, shoot. I like even Daniel. Daniel was cast into a lion's den. Now watch this. They were hungry lions. They wasn't just no lion. These lions were, watch, they were just like the world right now, hungry. Thirsting after your blood. Y'all better pay attention to what's going on in this world. You know, you thought it was cool to be a Christian. It ain't cool to be a Christian no more. No, baby. Persecution already has come. Yes. There used to be a time when you, oh, that's a good Christian boy. Oh, that's a fool believing that mismake. You know. It ain't like that, like it was before. So in order to be a Christian, you're going to have to let the Holy Ghost be in control. Yes. Mm-hmm. But who can stop the mouths of hungry lions? You know, manna got kicked out of the garden a long time ago. Y'all get that tomorrow. Praise the Lord. All right, now watch this. You ready? So obstacles that were previously hindered you are no more in your life. Amen? That becomes, watch this, what happens is it becomes a priority shift. Because what God is doing takes priority, and then those other things to you, you don't even pay them no mind. You act like they ain't even there. Praise the Lord. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Another thing that happens is you become aware of God's voice and his presence in your life. Uh-huh. The Holy Ghost can't show up without you recognizing his God.
Right. Come on. Come
on. I said he can't show up without you recognizing his God.
Come on
now. Can I tell you that again? Yes, he cannot show up and you don't recognize his God. Except you fit that other category I talked about. Getting saved and becoming a real Christian? Okay. Pastor Skelton told me that. He's sitting over there sad. All right. Praise the Lord. So I let y'all in on that. Praise the Lord. Now, let me finish with this. This is what happened to me.
Come on.
All right. Now, I'm about to share with you some of my most intimate things. All right? All right? I'm going to share with you one of the most intimate walks I've ever had in my life with the Lord. You understand what I'm saying to you? And the only reason I'm going to share with you is because I know it'll help you. And the second reason is because the Holy Ghost told me to share it with you. And if I don't share it with you, I'm going to be in trouble. All right? Because, you know, my daughter, Patrina, wonderful daughter that she is, she's a Facebook queen. And so anything that goes on with her daddy, she wants to put it on Facebook. But that's my baby. She said, Daddy, take a picture of your foot. I said, take a picture of my foot. Yeah, take a picture of your foot. I want to use it. You understand in a minute why I said that. But this is what happened with me. And I want to show you how God is so awesome. Are you hear what I said? I want to show you how God is so awesome. Now, this has been going on with me probably about 6 years or so. Okay, had been going over me about 6 years. And I got the victory. Okay, you hear what I said? I got the victory. But now, one of the things I did with this, and I want you to understand this, I acted like I had what I was believing for. Okay, I didn't let what was going on with me stop me. You hear what I'm saying? What was happening in my life, it slowed me down some. I can't lie about that. And it was so devastating at times. And, you know, I didn't let on. But it was times when, I'm a pastor, you know. And I minister on Sundays and Wednesdays and a whole lot of other time. And this is what happened. Let me tell you this first out of that. No matter how I felt, when it was time for me to minister, I didn't even know it. No. Y'all got to hear what I'm saying. Look, in other words, I was supernaturally charged every time I stood up to speak. Every time. And it was like I wasn't even going through what I was going through. But now watch this. After I would minister, I felt like I did before. And I tell you another secret. You can feel so bad for so long, you don't even know you feel bad. Huh? I'm serious. Huh? Now watch this. I had, a few years back, I had got an infection in my foot. Okay? And when the infection in my foot, I'm a man. So, you know, I ain't going to no doctor. Till one day I was standing in the pulpit, ministering the word, and that thing got on me so bad with fever and temperature, I was so weak that I had to leave the pulpit and go to the doctor right away on that Sunday, go to the hospital. I didn't go to the hospital, I just went home. That's what I did. I went home. I'm a man. And so I went home, and then I think it was the next day or so, finally said, okay, after much convincing, I said, okay, let's go on to the hospital. So I found out I had an infection. It was really getting to the bone. And so when they tell you when to get to the bone, ain't nothing they can do about it but cut it off.
All right.
And so my wife and I decided ain't going to be no cutting off. So and my wife, y'all know my wife. My wife is a very bold person, and she's straightforward. And she told the doctor like this, we came in here with 5 toes and a foot, and we leave in here with 5 toes, with 5 fingers and a foot. 5 toes and a foot. So I'm laying there in the bed saying, she talking for me? And so out of that, the doctor said, now look, I'm telling you, we know what we're talking about. You need to let us do this. It's because otherwise that bone going to get really infected, and then we're going to have to really do some of it. It's a possibility that you could die from the infection. So still, we said, no, we're going with God. You know, God promised me the healing. Now, let me tell you something. If you ain't where we are or were at that time, let the doctor do what he wants, because, you know, I'm just trying to help you to get what I'm talking about. But so the doctors wanted to, we told him, no, we're going with God. So through that process, they had to cut my foot open like it was a pig. I mean, you look at my foot, you wouldn't even know it was a foot. It was cut open that bad, okay? And so the one lady, when she was doing something to my foot, she said, now, you know, this might heal. She said, but when it gets through, you ain't going to know what it is. You ain't going to look like it's going to foot or nothing. Let me tell you something. Now, they put me on some antibiotics, the strongest antibiotic known to man, the vancomycin. And they had me on that junk for like 3 months. And that was the worst thing I'd ever gone through with talking about healing. Now, watch what I'm saying to you. And so what it did was it affected my kidneys. So now, watch this, foot healed, praise the Lord. Okay? But now foot healed, but now kidney problem. Huh? So kidneys are starting to shut down. They ain't playing. So what am I doing? I'm trying to do what I can naturally do to save my kidneys. Hallelujah. So I was doing everything still, and then I gained a lot of fluid weight because the kidneys just weren't functioning properly. Watch what I'm saying to you. So I'm believing God for my kidneys to work. God, you got to heal my kidneys. You said you're going to heal my kidneys. So he didn't say you're going to heal my kidneys. He said, well, heal me. So through this whole process now, I started dialysis. A lot of y'all, I was right here at the church still doing dialysis. Y'all didn't even know it. I would bring my machine with me. I had got on as a matter of fact, before I got on this machine doing it myself, I was going to the clinics, and when I would come here, I would set up at this clinic right here in Gonzales and get my treatments and come back to church. All right? So now watch this. So I got the machine that I could do myself. So I started traveling, happy with my little machine, you know, and just do the machine while I'm sleeping at night. Praise the Lord, saints. So I was doing that, but that still wasn't doing the best for me. And but, you know, it was helping me. So I'm still believing God for my kidneys to work. Sometimes, God, you got to do some of these kidneys, God. You said you're going to. And then this, watch this. My daughter, Patrina. Stand up, Patrina. This is my daughter, Patrina. 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago now, my daughter was almost how many pounds? Huh? 295 pounds. That girl right there. All right? She determined, watch this, 4 years ago, well, 4 years from the date that this happened. She decided that she was going to lose weight and get in shape. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And that was the first time I ever saw my daughter really just stick with something like she just wasn't letting it go. Nobody had to motivate her. I ain't said nothing to her. She just did this on her own. And she just went at it, eating right and exercising. That's all she did. She didn't go get no surgeries or nothing like that. She did the eating right and exercising. Now watch this. It took 4 years. Oh, yeah. It took 4 years, 4 years for her to lose the weight to be where she is right now. Are y'all hearing? Because she did it the right way. Now, she could have did some little fancy little thing and lost it and then be sick too, but she did it the right way. Now, watch this. Little did I know. Thank you, Patrina. Watch this. The doctors were talking to me about a transplant. Watch this. The doctors were talking to me about getting a transplant. And I'm saying, God gonna heal my kidneys. Yes, sir. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yes. Come on, don't boo-foo me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So I'm saying, God gonna heal my own kidneys gonna work. Praise the Lord, saints. So one day, the doctor talked to me, and I had a witness to listen to him. He said, you need to go ahead and at least get on the transplant list. So I went through the process, get on the transplant list. And then he said, you know, the best thing is if you can find somebody to donate you a kidney. He said, because if you can get somebody to donate your kidney, then, you know, it's going to be great. It'll just speed it up. And so it wound up, I called my family, certain of my family together. I told them what was going on. And when I told my family what was going on, My daughter said, I'll do it. Just like that. And then I have a niece that was there at the time. She's like a daughter to me, too. And she said, I'll do it. So here I am with about 20 people in the room, and two of them say, I'll do it. So my niece went to get tested, and she couldn't do it because she had had diabetes when she was pregnant. So they wouldn't let her do it. Now, this girl here, my daughter, Katrina, right here, watch this. Boy, Jesus, have mercy, Lord. This girl was a perfect match. I mean, this is what I'm saying to you. Everything that needed to line up was perfect. So, November the 13th of last year, that was the week of camp of Prosperity Revival. I had to go in at that time. That was the window they had for me, so I had to go. I would have waited to after camp meeting, but they had the window right then, and I had to go. And after Prosperity Revival. But look at this. Perfect match. Then we go into the hospital to check in and meet a nurse. And this nurse says, you know, my father had a kidney problem, and I gave my father a kidney. Now, watch what I'm saying. All the way, God, by his spirit, is working this thing out. Now, watch what I'm saying. All the time, he was working it out. See, I had no clue as to what was going on with my daughter. That God, now watch this, because I know this now, that was an assignment or a contract she got with God to get in shape. Because had she been overweight, had she had high blood pressure, had there been any sickness in her body, she would not have been qualified to give me that kidney. You hear what I'm saying? Now listen to what I'm telling you. Don't you ever believe that if the Holy Ghost is in control, that you can tell him how to do something. I learned that lesson. I will never forget that lesson as long as I live. You can never tell the Holy Ghost how to do something. You can expect a result, but you can't tell him how to get you there. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So the whole thing, what I'm trying to get you to understand is because I was sensitive to the Holy Ghost to let him lead me, even though sometimes I didn't hear him like I should have heard him. But because I gave him way. It's right here. Y'all hear what I said? You see that? You know, I got a little pouch there now. You know, I don't like having a little pouch. I like to have my stomach flat. But you know what? I wear this pouch proudly. You hear what I'm saying? Because, see, this is what God did. Yeah. So all I'm trying to tell you is when the Holy Ghost is in control. When you don't realize what's happening. When you wondering why it ain't happening the way you think it ought to happen. When you wonder how come it's taking so long to do it. Understand something. If you let him, he'll orchestrate it, and he'll bring it out all right. Would you give him a shout of thanks and praise? Come on, give the Lord a shout of thanks and praise. Give the Lord a shout of thanks and praise. Give the Lord a shout. Come on, let's bless him. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We love you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. You're worthy of all the praise. You're worthy of all the glory. Now watch this. God is so awesome that he gave us a revelation on something. Watch this. What I needed for my life came out of me. Y'all hear what I'm saying? What I gave life to gave life back to me. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Now, I said that for a reason, because when the Lord told me that, watch this. Listen to me. You God's vessels in this earth. And he gave life to you. And what he expects you to do is bring life back to him. I'm trying to help you with something here. See, don't think it's about you. Mm-mm. It's you bring it back to him. Can y'all hear what I'm saying? Huh? So, you know, I've always been a praiser. And I've always been a worshiper. But baby, don't mess with me now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because, you know, because when you've gone through something and God has shown you that it was him. You know, I've walked with God for a long time. And been through a lot of things with God. And I love him. But, you know, baby, let me tell you something. I drop down in the middle of a highway with all the cars rolling to praise God. I don't care. You hear what I'm saying? Why do I say that? Because I know God is who he say he is. You know, if you know, you've heard this before, but I'm going to tell you like this. If anybody tell you that God is not good, if anybody tell you that God won't do what he say he's going to do, tell him Patrick T. Randolph told you that they tell a lie. Because God will do exactly what he said he would do. You just stop trying to direct him.